Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Musicians of Melwick is a flexible size chamber ensemble. More on what that means in a moment. In residence of the Schuyler Mansion at New York State Historic Site and Schenectady County Community College, this week the group is performing a program entitled Despite All Obstacles of Nature, Composers with Hearing Loss. Featured on the concert are works by Beethoven, Smetana, and the world premiere of a work by Richard Einhorn written expressly for musicians of Melwick and this concert. Between pieces, letters of all the composers will be read that describe their utter despair, sense of loss of credibility, and ultimate triumph over their affliction. Each of the works was written after their deafness had begun to descend. Violinist and director Anne-Marie Barker-Schwartz joins us to tell us more about the musicians of Melwick and their wonderful event coming up on this Saturday, yes?
Yes.
This Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
At the First Reformed Church in Schenectady.
Yes. You have it all correct.
Good. Thank you. You checked when you came in, and I just wanted to double check that I actually had it right. A delight to have you here. Thank you so much. This is a neat idea. I think a very important one and an interesting thing to explore musically.
Well, you know, last May, Musicians of Melwick was invited to perform for a big anniversary for the Hearing Loss Association of Albany. And Richard Einhorn, a famous composer and award-winning composer, was involved with it because he has lost his hearing. And it happened very abruptly, overnight. Literally, he went to bed one night, thought he didn't feel well, woke up in the middle of the night, and realized he couldn't hear anything. And so he was invited to have some of his pieces played at this special anniversary celebration at Capitol Rep, where they had just installed a hearing loop. In fact, I think Capitol Rep is probably the first theater in the area to install a hearing loop.
Yeah.
And so we were invited to be part of the program. And of course, the request was to program music that was written by deaf composers. And of course, everyone knows about Beethoven. He's sort of the iconic figure that way. But I started doing research, and I realized that Smetana and Gabriel Fauré had also lost their hearing early on in their careers, yet continued to produce masterpieces and be very active composers and musicians. And so we played this music at this special concert, and I think all of us in the ensemble were overwhelmed by the reaction of the audience, who were hearing things through this hearing loop, live music for the first time for some of them in decades. And it was a very, I think, for us, sort of transcendent moment to realize how the music was affecting these listeners. And so it made me think about, let's do a whole concert of this music. Let's really explore this topic. And let's program music that we know was composed after they were deaf. And then I started reading letters from each composer and realizing just how devastating this was for them. I mean, you can think of it sort of intellectually, but imagine the loss of credibility to your audience if you can't hear your music.
Right.
And so once I started delving into this, I realized that for many of these composers, for all of these composers, they sort of stepped over this horrible, debilitating silence and took that risk and continued to compose. I mean, Beethoven composes all his symphonies after his deafness, his opera Fidelio, his great string quartets, and this is all after he's deaf. And it's simply an amazing sort of feat of the spirit to survive this.
We had an interesting discussion yesterday with an author, Rosemary Mahoney, who has written a book about the world of the blind. She is not blind, but she did a lot of work throughout the world with the blind. And we were having a very similar discussion in the sense of we can't imagine what that is like, because it seems just the most counterintuitive thing in the world to think of a musician who can't hear their own work or to be able to hear it in the way that we hear it and still have it have the brilliance and the amazing resonance that it does have.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, it was one of those things that doesn't quite compute.
No, you're absolutely right. It doesn't compute. And I think that, first of all, it's a tribute to their level of talent that despite being unable to hear, they can continue to create this music and get it onto paper with no reference point from an auditory standpoint. And so there's that aspect of it. And I think you can tell from the letters that even though they're able to continue to produce this music, their sense of credibility among their colleagues and among the audience is a big issue for them. As it's very understandable. There's this incredible story of Beethoven being asked to conduct the premiere of the Ninth Symphony. And of course, he's stone deaf by this time. And he doesn't realize that the music is over and the audience is applauding and they have to turn him around. I mean, it's such a poignant story when you think about it, yet he had the courage to get up there and conduct. And with Smetana, same thing. He continues. He was a fabulous pianist and he continues to perform in public after he's deaf. And he doesn't realize that he's singing along really loudly and shouting things out. He's just completely oblivious because he can't hear it. And the audience adores him and respects him so much that they tolerate this. But it's just, I think for those of us who do hear, it's such a hard concept to grasp that you continue to do this even though the one sense that you need is gone.
In looking at this as far as picking the individual works, what went into that decision?
Well, obviously the time frame with the descent of the deafness. With Beethoven, of course, it starts quite early, and I wanted to pick something that would really showcase Petya, our cellist. She's a fabulous cellist. And so I looked at the range of cello sonatas. There are five of them, and the third one is after he's deaf, and it's a beautiful, very moving, sort of unusual sonata, and it's very lyrical and has many of Beethoven's sort of signature compositional techniques in it, and I just thought this would be a great showcase and a wonderful piece to sort of contrast between the deafness and the creative gift. The Smetana, he didn't write a lot of chamber music, but he wrote these two pieces for solo violin and piano that come well into his deafness and actually shortly before his death. And they're, for Smetana, he's all about writing music that depicts his homeland, Bohemia. And so they're filled with these Bohemian gestures, musically, and they're great pieces. Fauré only wrote one piano trio, and that's also just 2 years before he dies completely. He has no middle range of his hearing at this point. And I think you can actually, once you know that, you start to understand why he wrote the piece the way he did. The middle range is very much reinforced in the violin. And then for Richard, he actually wrote a piece for me for this concert, which I'm just absolutely thrilled about. It's a beautiful piece, and I'm very honored that he wrote it for me, and I feel very special, actually, that he did this.
How did it happen?
Well, I've known Richard for many years. I knew him before he lost his hearing, and I have always loved his music. He wrote The Voices of Light, which is this piece about Joan of Arc and set to a silent movie from 1928, and I love that piece, and we've done it up here a couple of times. And he actually wrote a chamber version of that for Musicians of Malwick. And when we were devising this concert, I said, Richard, would you consider writing something for us? And he said, absolutely. And so that's how it came about. And he'll be here, actually, starting tomorrow. We're doing a free preview at the community college tomorrow at 11:20. And then he's giving a special lecture at the college on Friday at 11:20 that's open to the public. And he'll be talking about the difficulties of composing with hearing loss.
When it comes to you're going to be reading letters as well, the letters of the composers, kind of a wide range. But there is the despair. And then ultimately they understand the triumph as well.
Absolutely. And all three composers, though quite despondent, and for Beethoven, he contemplates suicide because of this. But yet he works his way through it, and his greatest years are in front of him. And for Smetana, this, I think in some ways, Smetana, is the hardest hit by it. And you hear, he talks about not being able to hear his grandchildren's voices and not being able to hear the audience response to things and being intimidated because he can't understand people when they talk. And that's a theme the last 10 years of his life, this, you know, isolation from his hearing loss.
When all of this is going on and it the actual performance is Saturday at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady at 3 o'clock, and you can find out more information. We actually have it all up on our website. If you go to wamc.org/roundtable, you'll see the information and how to get in contact with the Musicians of Malwick. Despite all obstacles of nature, what's next after this?
We have a wonderful program at the Schuyler Mansion on April 6th, and it's our music that's time appropriate for the mansion, and then the great dinner at Cafe Capri pre-show afterward for ticket holders.
So a lot going on and a lot of terrific stuff.
Yes, terrific stuff.
Excellent. The Musicians of Malwick present Despite All Obstacles of Nature, Composers with Hearing Loss, this Saturday at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady, New York at 3 o'clock. More information available again on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. And is the community college event, is that open to the public?
Absolutely. So tomorrow is the free preview at 11:20 in the auditorium. And then Richard Einhorn will be presenting his discussion 11:20 on Friday. And both, you don't need reservations. You can just walk in. And Richard's a very engaging speaker.
Both at Schenectady
Community College.
County Community College. Yes. Excellent. And all of that will be on their website as well. Anne-Marie Barker-Schwartz, it's always a pleasure to have you join us. And thank you so much for the great work you're doing for the community. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here
today. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.